If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 24. And if you don't have a Bible but have a phone, there is a Bible app that you can download, or maybe you've already downloaded it, and it's called the Bible app. And if you open that up and click in the bottom right-hand corner where it says More, go to the next page and it'll say Events, then you'll see through technology that Restoration Church pops up. And you can click on that and follow the verses that we're going to read this morning. And really, we're just going to talk about the resurrection and the implications of the resurrection. What does that mean for our lives today? And so we're going to start in Luke 24. I'm going to read the resurrection account again today, this morning, starting at verse 1 in Luke 24. It says this, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went into the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened." This is what we're celebrating today. This is what we're celebrating and remembering today. And it's actually crazy to think about. We are celebrating, remembering, believing, putting our hope in a man who was dead, but is now alive. A man who for 3 days, after he suffered brutally on the cross, we remember that on Good Friday. Man who was beaten, who was stripped naked, who was spit upon, who was ridiculed, who was mocked, who gave up his spirit and said, "It is finished," and breathed his last. He was put into the grave, put into a tomb, which was sealed with a heavy rock. We're celebrating the reality, the truth, that man 3 days later, Jesus, walked right out. I mean, you think about it, the same breath that spoke and created the world, the very breath of life flowed back into his lungs. His heart, which was lifeless and beatless for 3 days, all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. Weak muscles were strengthened after not being used for days. The heavy stone was rolled away with the pinky of God, and Jesus walked out. Death couldn't keep him down. Dead to life. A man who was dead, Jesus who was dead, brought to life. This is what separates Christianity from all other religions in the world. This morning I was watching a video from someone overseas. Someone who is a follower of Jesus. And he said this very thing, the thing that we are celebrating this morning, the resurrection of Jesus, the truth that he is alive, is what separates Christianity from every other religion. Because the truth is, you can go to different places and see where people, their body has been laid. But Jesus, there's an empty tomb. He's not there. He is risen. And this is what separates Christianity. But also the thing that hit me this year was it really shows and it really demonstrates the character of God. I mean, we worship a God who is a God of the living, who loves to bring the dead to life, who loves to come into situations that seem where there's no hope and bring hopeless. A heart that is broken, a heart that is lost, a heart that is hurting, God comes in and he brings his life and his love into situations. This is clearly seen in the reality and what happened as Jesus, when he rose from the dead. I've always been amazed by this, what he did that first day he rose from the dead. Now imagine if you did something so significant like that. If you had like a big event in your life, what you do after a big event, what you do after a big moment kind of reveals your passion and your priorities. If something significant happens, maybe you're engaged or maybe you go through a significant life event, like what you do after that reveals what is important to you. Jesus, the day that he rose from the dead, as he walked out of the tomb, the first people that he interacted with, the first group was mentioned here. It's a group of women. A group of women who had known what it meant to be void of life, to be overcome with wickedness. One of them's name was Mary, and the scriptures say that she was consumed with seven demons. Really what that means, the picture was that she was completely consumed with evil, overwhelmed by the enemy. The enemy had a complete control over her life. And Jesus brought freedom to her, brought deliverance to her. She was full of life. And so here was one who had wept at the side of the cross. And the first person that Jesus approaches, this group of women. A group of women who would have been neglected in that day. A group of women, sadly, who weren't given a voice in that day. They weren't even considered as credible witnesses in a court case. And Jesus comes and he shows them value and love. And he says, I see you. And he appears to them. He also appears to two people. One of them, we know his name, Cleopas, probably his wife. They were leaving Jerusalem. If you read a little bit further down in Luke 24, they were leaving Jerusalem. They were grieved because they had hope that Jesus was the one who was going to rescue them, that he was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel, save Israel from oppression from Rome. They had put all of their hope in Jesus, and they were walking away from Jerusalem sad, but also a little confused. Because they're like, we heard some stories about the empty tomb today. We heard some rumblings, but we had hoped that Jesus was the one. And Jesus didn't reveal himself to Cleopas and his wife. And as they walked for 7 miles, it says they had quite the Bible study. Jesus opened up scripture and told them story after story, which was about himself, probably going back to Abraham and Isaac when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac and went up on the hill. And Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. And all of a sudden, there was a lamb that was caught in the thicket. I wonder if Jesus was like, that lamb, that was me. Fast forward to Egypt and Israel caught in slavery at the hands of the Egyptians. And God heard their cries and heard their groans and came and he rescued them. And he killed the firstborn in all of Egypt. But those in Israel, if they put a lamb's blood on their doorpost, they're passed over and their son was spared. I wonder if Jesus, in talking about that and sharing about that, was like, that lamb, that was a picture of me. Or what about like in Daniel and his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace when they were suffering under the hands of a violent king. And they were thrown into this furnace and the king looked in there. He's like, didn't we put three in there? I see four. And one looks like the son of the gods. I wonder if Jesus, in recalling that story, was like, that was me in that fiery furnace. That was a little hot in there. But he shared this story over and over again. He shared this scripture over and over again with Cleopas and his wife as they walked. And they said their hearts were burning. Something was happening inside of their souls. And they were excited. There was like God was doing something in their hearts. And they said to Jesus, who they didn't know at the time, they said, why don't you stay with us? Why don't you hang out with us, have dinner with us? And he said, okay. And they broke bread. And in that moment, their eyes were opened. And they saw Jesus. And then he was gone. And where did he go? He went to his disciples. He went to a group who had given their lives to him and say, we're all in on you. And they were sitting in a room and they were filled with fear. And he comes into the room. You kind of get the picture that he just kind of walked through the walls. He just appeared into the room and he said, peace be with you. Those who are filled with fear, peace be with you. I'm here. I'm risen. But there was one who was missing. Thomas. Talk about the ultimate FOMO moment. Like, can you imagine the disciples saying, we saw Jesus. You should have been there. And Thomas had so many questions. He's like, I don't believe it. I won't believe it until I see his hands and I see his feet. And 8 days later, Jesus appeared to Thomas, who was doubting. We read in this passage, and there's people all around the resurrection account, all around the resurrection story. One was Peter, who ran to the tomb to check it out, filled with excitement. But there are also those who thought that it was an idle tale. It just was a fairy tale. Like, it is not really true. But the cool thing about Jesus and what his actions reveal is Jesus passionately pursues people. People who are filled with faith, people who are questioning, who are like, oh, this is an idle tale. Jesus constantly is pursuing people. And this is what his actions, I believe, reveal the day that he rose from the dead. And this has always been the case. God, who saw humanity, who saw people that he had created with his own hands, who breathed his life into them. He saw them turn their backs on him over and over and over again. But God doesn't sit idly by and just be like, I'm not going to do anything. No, he moves with action. He pursues people. He chases people with his love, and ultimately by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross and to raise 3 days later. I think these actions by Jesus reveal his passion, reveal his purpose. But also, as we look at the resurrection today, as we think about the resurrection, there's so much that the resurrection of Jesus confirms in our lives and speaks to our lives today. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. If you have your Bibles, flip a couple pages to the right to 1 Corinthians 15. And the words will also be up on the screen. The resurrection is the event that changes history. And there's huge implications when it comes to whether you believe in the resurrection of Jesus or not. Paul, who was another person who was radically pursued by Jesus, had his life completely transformed by Jesus. He's talking to a community of believers who were filled with a lot of good things and a lot of struggles. And he says this in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which it you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance, this is the most important thing, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, in accordance with Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Paul is saying, here's what I passed along to you. Here's what I shared with you. That Jesus was killed, that he was buried. He was lifeless, but God raised him from the dead. And many of you were witnesses to that, and others were witnesses to that. This is a real, real event. This is something that actually happened. See, Paul was writing 20 years after the resurrection, and many had started to doubt the resurrection. Was it truly real? Did it actually happen? And Paul, we're going to read, goes on to say, if you don't believe in the resurrection, there are huge implications. If you don't believe that the resurrection is real, and sometimes we even get to Easter Sunday, and I wonder, do we really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Has it impacted our lives? And Paul is saying, and what we're going to read here, is that the resurrection changes everything. Verse 12. It's writing to this community that had questions, and he says this, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. It's useless. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, who have died in Christ, have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of people to be most pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. He's speaking about the resurrection. He's saying, if there is no resurrection, man, we got problems. But because Christ raised from the dead, verse 20, but in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, everything changes. See, the resurrection confirms first and foremost the character of God. Without the resurrection, we're misrepresenting God is what Paul's saying. We're misrepresenting His character. He's not all powerful because there's some things that He cannot do. Some things that are out of His control. But again, verse 20, but in fact Christ has raised from the dead. I've said this already today, but it's worth repeating. We have a God who specializes in bringing the dead to life. He is the God of the living, and this should flood our souls with hope this morning. The darkest night He can light up. The most broken situation He can fix. The most lost person He can find. The hardest heart He can soften. Do this for me. Take the biggest problem that you have in life. The biggest concern you have in life. And place it next to the empty tomb. There's no comparison. With God, all things are possible because of the resurrection. Because Jesus is alive, there's always hope, no matter how dark, depressing, or overwhelming your situation is. God is a God who's about life, and in an instant, the power of God can show up and transform any situation. Healing the sick, bringing freedom to the oppressed, comforting those who are downhearted, setting the captive free. Because Jesus is alive, that means hope is alive, and anything is impossible. Anything is impossible, including, and most importantly, your relationship with God. See, secondly, the resurrection confirms the claims of the cross and of Jesus. Think about it. Without the resurrection of Jesus, you are still stuck in your sins. I like how clearly Paul puts that. Without the resurrection, you're still stuck in your sins. There's no forgiveness. Because of the claims of the cross, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, paid the debt. It is finished, he said. But without the resurrection, man, there'd be plenty of reason to doubt. Am I truly, truly saved from my sins? It seems like death had won. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Paul says this in Romans 4, and I love this. It says, He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. Raised to life to make us right with God, to restore relationship with God so that we can talk with God, we can get to know God. Because God rose from the dead, rose Jesus from the dead, you don't have to be stuck in your sins anymore. The biggest shame that you've ever experienced in your life, the biggest regret that you have is no comparison to the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus. See, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. There's a penalty for that sin. And the good news is Jesus took that punishment that He died in our place, fully satisfying the wrath of God. He took that penalty and He rose from the dead to make us right with God. Because of Jesus, you don't have to carry that weight around anymore. 1 Peter 3:1 says, we have been born again to a living hope. Why? Through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And here's the invitation. Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, if you confess Him and make Him the Lord of your life, you will be saved. See, the good news is, and what we celebrate is, because Jesus is risen, your failures are not the final word. Your failures, your regrets are not the final word. The cross is, the empty tomb is, God's love for you is. Because of the resurrection, no one is too far gone, and shame doesn't win. And lastly, the resurrection confirms the coming of Jesus. The future coming of Jesus and where all of history is headed, that death doesn't get the final word. See, without the resurrection, Paul even talks about this. Without the resurrection, man, if this life is all that we have, live it up. It's nothing after this. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. See, death, when it comes to death, death is not undefeated. Death has been defeated. because of that, we have a future. We have a living hope. And what happens, what happened to Jesus, will happen to us. Look at verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. See, this life, when we pass, this isn't the end. For those who are believers in Jesus, this isn't the end. We have a future. We have a hope. We have an inheritance that is waiting for us. We have a future that is waiting for us that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. And what does that mean? For those who believe, here is our future. We go from life, living and breathing, to life. And we go through this process called death, but we go from life to life because of our faith in Jesus. And one day we will see Him face to face. We will know Him fully. We will be fully known by Him. And one day He will return, establishing His kingdom, where there will be no suffering and no death and no pain and no tears. And the dwelling place of God will be with His people. The resurrection transformed people's lives. It was the very message that changed them. The message of the whole New Testament as believers encounter the resurrected Jesus. Their lives were changed, completely transformed. Just a couple chapters later, after they saw Jesus alive, they went to the very people and they told them, the very people that crucified Jesus, that yelled out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." They looked at Him in the eyes and said, "You killed the author of life. You killed Jesus. But God raised Him from the dead." And then there was an invitation that they gave. They said, "You are not too far gone to be saved. That doesn't have to be your final word. Repent and believe the good news of Jesus and become a child of God." The resurrection transformed people's lives. They were bold. They were courageous. They gave up everything to follow Jesus. My question this morning, as we wrap up our time together, is this: how has the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, changed your life? How has the resurrected Jesus transformed your life, your everyday life? Because the truth is, He's alive today, but He's going to be alive tomorrow, and the next day after that. Has the resurrected Jesus transformed every aspect of your life? Are you walking around, if you believe in Jesus, you walking around with your head a little higher, knowing that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Walking around free, but also walking around with a different purpose and a different passion, wanting and longing to see the kingdom of God come in to earth. Has a resurrection of Jesus transformed your life? How has it? Secondly, has the resurrected Jesus transformed your life? See, the truth of Scripture is that if you have not put your faith in Jesus, you are still stuck in your sins. There's still separation between you and God, and there's a future awaiting you that is not filled with life, but is filled with death and separation from the One who loves you deeply. See, the offer is clear, and it goes back to what Jesus did the first day He arose. He pursued people who had questions, who had thoughts, who had concerns, who were broken. And I know He's pursuing people today. Today in this room, He's saying, "I love you. Will you give your life to Me?" And the truth is of Scripture, if you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life, if you believe that God rose Him from the dead, you will be saved and you can be reconciled in relationship to God. And you can have that relationship that you were created for. See, what we're doing in this room, it's not about sitting in pews, sitting here dressed up on an Easter Sunday. This room is filled with people who have a relationship with the living God and have found life and life abundantly. And my deepest prayer is that if you're in this room and if you've yet to give your life to Jesus, my prayer is that today would be a day of salvation for you, that you would give your heart completely to the One who gave everything for you. And it's simply confessing Him as Lord and believing that God rose Him from the dead. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. And as we're going to wrap up with this song of "All Hail King Jesus," this is a declaration. This is more than just a song, more than just words that we're singing. This is a declaration of our heart And the declaration is this, is that Jesus has transformed our lives. The resurrected Jesus has changed everything. And we're living wholeheartedly for the one who gave everything for us. So let's stand together and let's sing these words.